So, welcome to the Quantum and Classical Chaos course. So, my name is Meenu Kumari. I'm a postdoc here. I'm working in the field of quantum chaos. So, in this course, first, we will study a bit about dynamical systems theory. Like, understanding chaos theory requires some qualitative understanding of the dynamical systems theory. So first we'll do that. The first couple of weeks will be focused towards understanding dynamical systems theory qualitatively, in which we'll study equilibrium, given any dynamical system, you can calculate equilibrium points, its stability using linear stability analysis, and then bifurcation theory, and how chaos occurs, there are different routes to chaos. So in first couple of weeks, we'll cover that. Then in third week, we'll cover some Hamiltonian chaos. So many of the concepts from dynamical systems theory, this chaos will go over to Hamiltonian chaos, but time-independent Hamiltonian systems have this specific property that they are conservative in nature. So, but general dynamical systems may not be conservative. So that's why there are certain differences in when we deal with Hamiltonian systems than general dynamical systems. So that's why there is a difference in way we see chaos in Hamiltonian systems versus in general dynamical systems. So third week we will specifically focus on Hamiltonian chaos, and then in fourth and fifth week we'll give an overview of chaos in quantum systems, quantum mechanics. So this course, at least in the first few weeks, will require only some knowledge of linear algebra, calculus, and some theory of differential equations. So it should not be a difficult course to follow. In quantum chaos, when we'll discuss quantum chaos, we'll just need some basics of quantum mechanics that I'm pretty sure that all of you are familiar with. So feel free to ask any questions in the lecture. Feel free to interrupt whenever you need to. So let us start. Today we'll discuss about logistic map, and then if time permits, I'll discuss a bit about the history of chaos theory. If this takes time, then I will do that tomorrow, discussing the history. So,
and just one logistic question, will we get some kind of lecture notes?
Not really. Lecture notes, they are my handwritten notes. If you really want them, some of them are handwritten notes, so they may not be as clear, but if you really want them, I may give it to you personally. But since they are not very clearly written, I won't be circulating the notes. I can also refer for individual. So I'm not following any particular book as such. For different topics, I'll be referring to different resources and books. So if you need from where I'm doing something, you can ask me and I'll refer you to those resources. Is it visible to the people in the last row? Is it big enough?
Okay.
So, logistic map is a simple map, one dimension. How many of you are familiar with this map by any chance? Okay. So, I'll be asking some questions. So if you are familiar, let people who are not familiar give the answer first. And if they do not answer, then you can also give an answer. So here, R is a real parameter. And for simplicity, we'll assume the case of positive R. So given this equation, what do you think would be the different possible behaviors of x infinity? Like, we pick any value of R and any value of x naught. So given R and x naught, we can iterate this function several times, right?
Sorry.
Infinite times. Yeah. Oh, sure. Sure. I'll try to do that. So given R and x naught, you can iterate this function infinitely. So if we do that, like generally, what are the possible behaviors of x infinity? Can you brainstorm just what could happen?
Is that 0 or 1 minus 1 by R? You just said x n plus 1 will also be the same as x n at infinity.
So x n, so when we said that, so you are saying that there will be like, so let x star be that value. So x star will come out to be 0 and 1 minus 1 by r, right? Yeah, so these two are equilibrium points. So when do you think it will set, like, okay, so these two are possible equilibrium points. Will the system always settle down to one of these two equilibrium points? Or something else can also happen?
It could go to infinity.
Yeah, so. Infinity or minus infinity? Like, it is it evolves in an unbounded manner. So that is another possible solution. That is right. Any other thing? So, and period n cycles, you mean?
How are these last two intuitive? How
are they answering? So, just qualitatively, I'm not asking like exactly for this value of r and this value of x naught, what will happen. Just what are the possibilities that can happen? Like, I'm just asking you to brainstorm, like, not specific this equation also, like given any one dimensional map, just if you just consider this, that xn plus 1 is given by a function of xn. So given any one dimensional map, and for example, we will be discussing logistic map here, what are the possible things that can happen qualitatively? So one of the possibility is it can evolve in an unbounded manner and go diverge either to infinity or minus infinity, right? So that is one possibility. Second possibility, like another student mentioned, that this can go to a period n cycle, or like it can settle down to one of these fixed points as you discussed. So yeah, these are the possible behaviors. That is right. So let us try to see qualitatively, how do we determine what possible behavior does it settle down to? So let us examine this function. To understand the possible behaviors, and as I said earlier, we will be considering the case of positive R here just for simplicity. So as you can see, this function has two roots, right? This function which are x equals to 0 and 1. So if I try to plot this function, f of x and x, so these two points will be there. Next, how does this function look like? Like for that, in general, you will find the extremum of the function, and then you will find like whether it is a minimum or a maximum. So we find the extremum. We find where the derivative is 0. So at the extremum, the derivative is 0. So what is the derivative of this? It is just r minus 2xr. So you can see that x equals to half is an extremum of this function. So now what is the value of the function at x equals to half? It will be so this is r over 4, right? So this function will be, and the other thing is like how to determine whether this extremum is a minimum or maximum. You can compute that using the second derivative. So if the second derivative is less than 0, this implies that it is a maximum. So here we see that the second derivative is simply minus 2r, right? And this is less than 0 or positive r. So that's why this is a maximum. So this is how the function will look like basically. And the maximum here is r over 4. So from here, we can see that the range of f is basically minus infinity to r by 4. Is that correct? So now to understand the behavior, the evolving behavior of these functions, a method called Webb diagram is generally used for one-dimensional discrete maps. So this method is, we'll apply this method for this is Webb diagram method. So this function, and this is the y equals to x line. So if we start at any x node, how do we see what is x1? So x1 will clearly be this value, right? Like this is what x1 will be, right? And now we want to find what is x2. So we will have to project this x1 back on the x-axis and see where it falls on the function, right? Is everyone following? So project it on the x-axis. We can project it on the y equals to x line, like project it on the y equals to x line. So this will be x1 basically, and now this will be x2. So likewise, you can go on doing this. So this is like projecting x2 on the x-axis, and then x3 will be this. Does that make sense? I can give you 1 minute and try to draw this on your notebooks and try to see, like, that will, through that you will be able to understand what I'm trying to do here. So, like, as you vary r, the height of the function increases basically. And the value at which it will, y equals to x line will intersect this function, will change. Like, this can be like r equals to 1, this can be like r equals to 2, this can be like r equals to 3, because the height of the function is r by 4. So you can see that where it intersects the y equals to x line changes, and these are the fixed point, wherever it intersects are the fixed points of the function. And through this web diagram, we can see whether the fixed point actually is unstable or stable, like graphically. Sorry?
Stable.
I didn't.
It looks stable.
So yeah, here it, this, in this function, like, yeah, the way I have this, this will be x4, this point and this, so something like that, it will go on to this in the n tends to infinity limit. And if I had drawn, suppose, or a smaller r, for a smaller r, it intersects here, and actually it intersects once more in the, for r less than equal to 1, the interest less than 1, there are 2 intersections of the function, and 1 intersection is in the at the negative x axis. So if we start with at any point here, it will go on to 0. So at least these two behaviors, we understand that 2 roots fx equals to 0 and 1 minus 1 by r that we talked about there. But we still need to understand the unbounded, how it is unbounded, and how do we get these periodic cycles. So everyone understands how to draw these web diagrams, right? These are also called cobweb diagrams actually in the literature. So now let us try to see when we will get, for what values of r and x naught, we will get a bounded motion. So we are interested in bounded motion in the sense that if I start with any x naught for a given value of r, it x infinity remains in the finite range on real line rather than diverging off to infinity or minus infinity. And this function can diverge to minus infinity, it can only diverge to, sorry, it can't diverge to infinity, it can only diverge to minus infinity as we saw due to the range of the function. So for bounded motion, let us consider this case of so here we can see that the range of the function will be for r equals to 4, the range of the function is minus infinity to 1, right? And if we restrict our initial x between 0 and 1, then you can see that like any x between 0 and 1, these two roots, it will be mapped to a value in between 0 and 1 only, right? And depending on the value of r, it will be 0 and r by 4. So for r equals to 4, it can be mapped between 0 and 1. It can span the entire range between 0 and 1 basically. So can you see that for this case? X infinity has to be bounded. Is it obvious? Is it clear or not? Okay, sure, I'll try to explain again. So what I'm saying is that let us take the value of r equals to 4, for example. So this is 1. This maximum possible value here is 1. This is 0 and this is 1. So what I am saying that like any x naught I take between 0 and 1, it will be mapped to a value between 0 and 1. Like this is the possible range it will go to. And then consider that as another x naught. Like, so since x naught if I take between 0 and 1, this will imply that x1 is between 0 and 1 as well. This implies, right? Because for 0 and 1, this function gets mapped to, this is the range of f for r equals to 4 and for like x0 in this range. So x1 will also be in the range 0 and 1. So now we put x1 to cont in this function. This is the just writing the function again. So what I'm saying is if we take x naught belongs to 0, 1, then this will imply f of x naught belongs to, this is equal to x1, this belongs to 0, 1 for r equals to 4, and this will imply that x2 f of x1, which is x2, so it will remain bounded. So you can go on iterating to infinity and it will remain bounded for this range. like these initial conditions and this r value. So instead of taking r equals to 4, if we take r equals to any other value in this range, like instead of 1 here, it will be r by 4, which is less than 1 for the case of r less than 4 and positive r. Now instead, if we suppose we take r greater than 4, then range of f for example, let us take 5, then range of f is, sorry, minus infinity and 5 by 4, right, which is greater than 1. So now if I take any x naught in this range, fx naught will not remain between 0 and 1. It can go outside of this side, at least in the positive side, not on the negative side. But once it goes on the positive side, then x naught, then the initial condition is no longer in this range. And then it can iterate and it can diverge also. So in general, if you take initial condition bigger than 1, then most often, except for specific values of r, it will diverge to minus infinity. It can't diverge to infinity, that we discussed, right? It will diverge to minus infinity. So we are interested in bounded motion in chaos theory, actually. Unbounded motion is not chaos. Like you can get unbounded motion even in linear systems, and linear systems never show chaos. So we are always interested in bounded motion. So given any system, it is important to understand when, for what initial conditions. Like if you are given a set of differential equations or a set of maps, like in general you evolve it with time. So variables, do they, as you evolve in time, as t tends to infinity, do the variables remain in a bounded region or do they diverge off to infinity minus infinity? So when they diverge off, then like it doesn't belong to the regime of chaos theory. So that's why I'm talking about when the function here shows bounded motion. So likewise, like checking for this. With this web diagram, let us see what happens for negative. Sorry?
Why when it's unbounded, then it's not belong to the chaotic behavior?
I mean, that is the definition as such, that you need bounded aperiodic motion in chaos. And we will discuss that more in the course. Today I'm just giving a flavor of it through the logistic map. But that is like the definition, that you need bounded motion, bounded aperiodic motion, along with sensitivity to initial conditions. These three things should be there for chaos theory. Yeah.
I think I'm also thinking that the boundedness refers to the range, but that's not.
Sorry, I can't hear you. Can you speak a bit loudly?
The bounded motion means the range of S is bounded.
Yeah, but range of F here is not bounded, right?
Yeah.
So we are then in case when range of the function is not bounded, then we find the set of initial conditions that remain bounded. So even though the range of F is not bounded here, like it goes from minus infinity to r by 4, but there are initial conditions for which the iteration remains bounded. So we will be interested in those kind of initial conditions. Does that make sense?
I guess this was more from the perspective of varying other instead of x0?
I mean, there are two variables here in that sense. Like, initial condition is one thing, and then r is a parameter. So you fix the parameter of the system, and then you vary initial condition, like, and then you see any initial condition, what happens to any initial condition as you evolve. So if there is a range of initial conditions for which, sorry, I did not probably understand your question completely. So you're saying,
did we not make the statement that if r is bigger than 4, there exists bounded motion or not?
No, for r greater than 4, there is no bounded motion. So bounded motion, this is the case of bounded motion, that initial x is in this range and r parameter is in this range. I mean, even if you take potential functions, for example, in physics, you do study like some potential functions like this, for example, some potential. So in this range, the behavior will be bounded in just Hamiltonian systems that you might have studied. Like, consider an inverted harmonic oscillator. Harmonic oscillator, it is bounded, but inverted harmonic oscillator, it is not bounded, right? But then in inverted harmonic oscillator, if you add some anharmonicity there, then there can be a range where your system is bounded, but beyond that, it is unbounded. So something like that here in analogy. Here I was talking about, like, if we start with any x which is negative, then in general you can see that this is x1. For x2, you project it to y equals to x line and then project it back on the function. So this will be x2 like this. It will, like, you can see that through this cobweb diagram, it will diverge after infinity. And if that will happen, like, the thing is, if you start with a positive x naught greater than 1, then you can see that this function, this value will be negative, right? If x naught is greater than 1, then 1 minus x naught is negative. And this is a positive number. So overall, if x1 becomes negative, and once x1 becomes negative, x2, x3 will have to be negative like this. And it will mostly diverge off, except for certain initial conditions, when r belongs to this range, actually. In this range, there will be a small region of initial conditions for which it will not diverge off to infinity, even if you start with a negative x, but for most of the initial conditions, it will diverge off. So I'll show some web diagrams computationally on Mathematica. So everyone is comfortable with how to draw web diagrams, how to determine corresponding x sense, right? So we talked about there are unbounded solutions, and there could be bounded where it goes to a fixed point or to a period n cycle. But there is one more condition which can happen, which is hard to predict, like even in bounded motion. So I have in every evolution plot, I have mentioned the R value, the parameter, and the initial X naught that we consider. So here X naught is 0.75 that I have taken. This depicts the line here and see how it evolves and how it goes to X, like X and like it evolves to X equals to 0. So this is for R equals to A, is 0.8. What happens when we evolve it, when we increase the R value? So this will actually, you can calculate analytically that this will happen until this origin X equals to 0 remains stable. After it becomes unstable, it will diverge off, start like diverging off from X equals to 0 rather than coming towards it. So that happens at R equals to 1. All those things you will calculate in tutorial 1 actually. So this for R greater than 1 and less than 3, there is another fixed point that we pointed out, 1 minus 1 by R. So that is stable and you can see that it evolves to the that point. So these are the equilibrium fixed point behavior. Then beyond R P, there could be periodic behavior of period N. So there is a period oblique bifurcation that occurs, which we'll talk about later, but here you can see what happens. That it, as you evolve from this X naught, it goes on to a period 2 orbit. So these two are period 2 orbit points. So if it, if this period 2 orbit is stable, then any initial condition in this range, X 0 to 1, will actually evolve to this. So I have started from an initial condition away from the period 2 point, but still it evolves to that, right? So this is, here I have started with an initial condition, like on the period 2 orbit itself. Like we cannot have infinite precision, so we, I can say, okay, very, very extremely close to the period 2 orbit, and it just evolves there. This is the period 2 orbit. So as you increase R value, the system, those previous orbits are still there, like the fixed point, the period 2 orbit, they are still there, but they are unstable. So they have become unstable now. So it, any initial condition does not go towards that. It goes towards the new stable periodic cycles that have, that are there for that parameter region. So you can see it evolves to a period 4 orbit. It is not very clear what are the 4 points, so I'll show the exact period 4 orbit here.
Could you just say again, why period 4? Because I thought we were counting like the number of cycles you go through until you come back to the same point.
So yeah, so here you can see that. So this is, I have started with an initial condition extremely close to period 4. So these 4 points of intersection, like where it evolves, like 1, 2, 3, and 4. These 4 points form a period 4 orbit.
And what is the above one period?
Why, sorry? What?
Didn't the one before also say it's period 4?
So yeah, it is the period 4 as well. The thing is, here I have started with an initial condition which is far away from the period 4 orbit, but it still goes to the period 4 orbit. So, and here I have started with an initial condition which is extremely close. So it is difficult to see here that it is a period 4 orbit, right? So that's why I plotted another one. so that you could see clearly that there are four points among which it evolves actually. So if you go on increasing R values, this is R equals to 3.5, then this is R equals 3.55, where you actually get a period 8 orbit. So I have just plotted the period 8 orbit here. I have not plotted the evolution from a far off initial condition, but it does evolve to this. So 8 points, you can see 1, 2, 3, 4, then 5, 6, 7, 8. Right? Yeah.
How do you know which value of x naught makes it be close to the orbit?
So, since this is an attractor here, so what I did was start with any x naught and evolve it for say 100 iterations. And then after 100 iterations, I am already very, very close to the period 4 orbit. So, I took the 100th value from there and then I plotted this. Does that make sense? So this is the period 8 orbit. So here what is happening, you can see there was period fixed point, then period 2, then period 4, period 8. So in fact, in a very small range of R, there is a period doubling bifurcation, which we will study in the course later on when we will study bifurcation theory. So there will be a periodic orbit corresponding to every n. There will be a 2 to the power n periodic orbit corresponding to every n. As you go on increasing R value, there will exist a period 2 to the power n orbit that happens in a very small R value. I don't remember the exact number, but 3.5 something to 3.5 something actually. It is a very small range, a fractal-like behavior there actually. You can go on zooming in that R range as much as you want, like 10 digits of precision, 20 digits of precision, right? So in that very small window, you get these orbits. Like there will be a period 8 orbit which will become unstable, and a period 16 orbit will become stable, and then you increase R a bit, then this period 16 orbit becomes unstable, and there will be a period 32 orbit which will be there. So something like that happens. So what does this imply? If this happens for every n, and n is unbounded here, so that implies that there will be, like, since n is unbounded, there can be a periodic orbit with this, which basically means it is aperiodic, right? For n tends to infinity, this periodic orbit becomes aperiodic. So this is what happens. So here I have plotted a chaotic orbit for R equals to 3.6.
How can we be sure that there is not a limit of and like up to some precision maybe we can do, and then that like if it goes to around 64.
So there is a theory, I don't remember exactly, but there's something called Feigenbaum constant, I think. So there, like, you can see that as you, like, numerically also you can keep on zooming in, nobody is going to stop you, like computational power at the after.
But it could be like up to some point it increases and then it start coming back again, something like that. But yeah.
Yeah, but it does not happen. It does go to, there is a period doubling bifurcation, and it is one of the routes to chaos actually. Period doubling bifurcation route to chaos, if you search, like you'll get, like, this is one of the routes to chaos, how it you get a chaotic motion, which is like no aperiodicity in a bounded region. So that is the interesting thing, that even though it is aperiodic, it is still bounded. Like x infinity will still remain between 0 and 1. It will not diverge off, but it is aperiodic.
It is chaos.
Yeah. So this is what I was talking about, like when we discussed what could be the possible orbits. So we described, okay, there could be unbounded orbits, there could be fixed point behavior, there could be period on n cycles. But we didn't discuss that there could be aperiodic orbits which are still bounded, right? So yeah.
So if your simulation run for longer, then you will just have like infinite.
Yeah, it will go on like filling the range like with in like very, very fine structure. It will never come back to any point that it has already visited.
Okay.
And since like the range 0 to 1 is uncountably infinite, right? So it is possible that way.
How did you know which parameters to choose for R and X naught?
So X naught, like as long as you are between 0 and 1, you will get a bounded motion. So you can choose any X naught here. It will be chaotic. And there is a theory like for which values of R you get chaos basically. So as I showed that there is a systematic behavior here, right? For R less than 1. It was going to x equals to 0, no matter what initial condition you choose between 0 and 1, it goes to 0. And we can understand that through the stability theory, like we'll do stability theory for discrete maps. And in tutorial 1, you will exactly compute these by hand as well. So as long as it is stable, it goes to initial condition in x. Initial conditions between 0 and 1 will go to the stable fixed point. But then, like as you increase R, so for R less than 1, positive R less than 1, it goes to 0. Then between R, R between 1 and 3, it goes to 1 minus 1, 1 by R. X infinity goes to 1 minus 1 by R. And then when you increase beyond 3, for some range, you get a period 2 orbit, a stable period 2 orbit. Then it becomes unstable and gives rise to a stable period 4 orbit. So this it is happening in a like proper way. It's not random that for whatever R value you are getting some, there's a sequence, there is a way how it is happening, right? So as you are increasing R, you are getting a higher period, a stable periodic orbit with higher periodicity. So this is with one initial condition. And you can see that it also remains within a range of fx, right? As we talked about the range of fx, maximum value here was r by 4, right? And was not 1 for every r. So you can see it is any initial condition goes in that range in one iteration, and then it remains in that range. It does not like expand all whole of 0 to 1. So this is for R equals 3.6. This is for R equals 3.8. It spans a larger range because R by 4 is greater for R equals 3.8 than 3.6. And then when you do it for R equals to 4, you can see that it spans the whole range of 0 and 1. They're still chaotic. So it may look like that we have spanned the possible behaviors here, but there is some more interesting phenomena. There exists a period 3 orbit as well.
3.83, that is.
Yeah, so that is. Yeah, so R approximately equals to 3.57 something. The chaos starts approximately equal to 3.5758 something. I don't remember the exact number to 4. But in this range of R, there are some periodic windows as well, actually. So where you see more so there is a period 3 behavior, and then there is a period doubling bifurcation of a period 3 behavior in extremely small region of R. So there is a period 3, then period 9. So period 3 and period 6, I guess. So period doubling bifurcation of this period 3. So earlier we saw period doubling bifurcation of period 2 orbit, actually. So just in like this a small window, there is so much that can happen. So, and to understand, like, as a function of R, what happens. So in the tutorial, you will draw bifurcation diagrams. So I'll briefly explain what is bifurcation diagram here that will aid you in the tutorial. I'll explain the history of chaos theory tomorrow, actually. Let me explain a bit about bifurcation diagram. Ideally, for logistic map, bifurcation diagram is like, okay, y-axis is x infinity behavior and x-axis is R. So for R equals to 0, we know that for R equals to 0 and until 1, we know that x infinity goes to 0.
Yes.
So this diagram. So here, so any x naught that you evolve, any x naught between 0 and 1 that you evolve will go to 0. So y-axis, this is 0, and this is still 1. Beyond r equals to 1, it goes to 1 minus 1 by r. X infinity goes to 1 minus 1 by r. So this is what you get here. And this happens till 3. So numerically, while doing it, what you do is take any x naught between this in this range, and then evolve it for several iterations, such that if there exists a stable orbit in that region for that r, it goes towards that orbit. It settles onto that orbit. So and you plot, like, numerically you can't really plot x infinity. You plot, like, if you do it for 1,000 iterations, for example, you plot a few values, like a few xn values between for n belonging to some numbers after which it would have settled down. So for example, 200 numbers or something like that, you just plot for every r value. So here in this r range, all these 200 numbers will be actually extremely close to 0. And then for r between 1 and 3, it was 1 minus 1 by r. And then there is a period doubling bifurcation. So x thousand, if it is this, x thousand 1 will be this, x thousand 2 will be this. So if you plot a sequence of points, you will get these two branches, actually. And then there's another period 4 orbit, then period 8. So if you plot like this, you will get this. And this will continue in a brief range. And then it will be all chaotic. So you will get all the points will be scattered when it is chaotic. Then in a range, all the points will start filling up the space. And then when you keep on going, then around 3.83 actually, or some number around that, you will start again seeing that it settles down to a period 3. And then there is a, yeah, so period 6. then there is a bifurcation of that, bifurcation of this. So all this happens in very, very small R range. So you need to make sure that the R steps that you are using here is small enough to capture that. So you'll see that, and then again there will be chaos here actually. So this is the bifurcation diagram. So through bifurcation diagram in general, you can see what is happening in asymptotic limit. Yeah.
But so in this plot for x and t, are you always choosing one xn for n in the range of 1,000 to 1,200?
So I'm starting with one x naught and then evolving it for some high number of n such that the transients die down. So say n equals to 1,000, I discard the first 1,000 iterations and then plot next 100 or 200 iterations and see whether all those iterations are very, very close to each other and going to one number, or are they like spanning a range, or are they behaving in a periodic manner. So it gives a qualitative view of what is happening. Like numerically, it is not possible to exactly get x infinity, right? You can't really evolve anything for infinite time. But if there exist stable orbits in your system, so as long as you are in the basin of attraction of those stable orbits, any initial condition in the basin of attraction will go towards, evolve towards that stable orbit, right? So you'll see that in these kind of plots. But if there is no stable orbit in the system, then it will, and if the system is still bounded, then it will do this kind of aperiodic behavior. Yes?
What determines the choice of the branch?
Oh, what determines the choice of?
The bifurcation. What determines which branch you end up on?
So it is periodic. So it will switch between those two. It's not, it doesn't go to, when a period 2 orbit is stable, then like x1 evolves to x2, x2 evolves to x1 back, and then x1 again evolves to x2. Like as you go iterating, so it will go on both these branches. These branches are not separate. They are part of the same orbit actually. So now other interesting thing is like with these numerics, it is impossible to get the unstable orbits actually. Like for example, this orbit, for example, 1 minus 1 by r, it still exists, but it has become unstable. So those orbits, like any initial condition, don't go close to those orbits. They are repelled from them. So numerically, you can't determine these unstable orbits. And in the theory of chaos and dynamical systems, these unstable periodic orbits play a huge role. So that is another interesting, and there are methods to compute unstable periodic orbits in your system, some numerical methods. But in general, it is difficult to get those because any initial condition is going to be repelled or diverged from the unstable periodic orbits. So overall, yeah, just recapitulating in chaos theory. We are interested in, like, the necessary conditions are the motion should be bounded. There needs to be aperiodicity. And the aperiodicity should be such that there is sensitivity to initial condition. We will understand these in detail later on. This was just to give you the flavor. And we saw these behaviors in the logistic map, right? Okay, so that's all for today. Thank you.